NPR station.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, we're going to talk about the People's Fair that takes place this weekend in St. Petersburg. We're also going to be looking at an environmental issue in Hillsborough County that has some people very alarmed. And we're going to hear more of our free candidates' messages. But first, four listener comments about yesterday's program. And yesterday we had a pretty wide-ranging conversation, including a conversation about voting and about transportation in Hillsborough County. Here's what five listeners had to say.
This is Phil. I am a poet, and I wish to employ the ancient poetic form of haiku to make a statement about politics today. Vote, 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 vote. Vote, 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 vote. Vote, 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 vote. Thank you, Rob.
During your discussion about the money to be spent for rails and things like that, I forgot to mention the pollution that the cars, like sitting on I-4 miles long, traffic jams, just sitting there, everybody with the car running, their air conditioner blowing on them, pumping out air pollution, carbon dioxide. That wouldn't happen if there was a high-speed transportation, a clean running high-speed rail between Tampa and Orlando. There wouldn't be all those cars sitting there polluting the air.
This is Kevin from St. Pete commenting on today's show. I wanted to say that Hillsborough County has special destinations that will support rail without your typical density requirements. Those are Tampa International Airport, downtown Tampa, University of South Florida, Busch Gardens, Port Tampa, your state and county fairgrounds. I also heard somebody criticize the Tri-Rail in South Florida, but the primary problem that South Florida's Tri-Rail has experienced is bad drivers that don't belong sharing our roads. And bad drivers are a problem for the pro-road people as well. You must provide legitimate alternatives like a good bus service, bike lanes, sidewalks, etc. Thank you.
This is John from Tampa. I'm calling in reference to the transportation conversation you guys were having on the show today. I've heard a lot of people that are very against, you know, rail and other transportation options and really wanted to just widen roads. And my real question is, have any of these people been to a place like Denver? It's a place that blew up really quick, a lot of people influxed out of nowhere, and they've made it all work really well. And this is not like, you know, a Boston or a New York type of place. It's a very, very similarly sized place based out, and the trains and the buses and everything there run like clockwork. And I think that's really would be a great model for us to find. I hope some other people could, you know, think about that.
I'm calling in about the rail conversation from yesterday. I'm a big supporter of all forms of rail and public transportation. I lived in New York, London, Tokyo, Osaka, and Sydney, Australia, all cities that have great public transportation. Right now, we live in Dunedin. They have been building like crazy over here. I don't know if you've been here in a while. And there have been no changes to traffic. There's been nothing but cars and the jolly trolley. And the traffic is just getting worse and worse, and the buildings keep going up. So I would like to see the ability for us to get from here to the airport or down to St. Pete, over to Tampa using trains. We need to get moving in the right direction, especially with the elderly population here. Wouldn't it be great if we could really get on a train and get anywhere we wanted to? Thanks.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. Well, as a public service, WMNF is offering free airtime for political candidates. We're giving up to 2 minutes of free airtime for a message recorded by the candidates themselves. The message may include anything the candidate would like to say about why they should be elected to office. The candidate may also include contact information. This offer is open to any candidate, regardless of party, who's running statewide or locally, and who is on the ballot November 6, 2018, in Hillsborough, Pinellas, Sarasota, Pasco, Polk, or Manatee counties. Candidates may record their messages right now at 813-238-8001, extension 115. We'll be playing those messages back during the 11 a.m. hour show during the next 2 weeks. Any message over the two-minute limit will be edited to reduce the length. Again, the place to record a candidate's message is 813-238-8001, extension 115. All messages must be recorded by 9 a.m. on Tuesday, October 23rd. That is a hard and fast deadline. So we're going to hear several messages from candidates right now. These are people who have taken us up on our offer of free airtime. First of all, we're going to hear from a candidate who is running for a state house seat in Northwest Hillsborough and Northeast Pinellas County.
First, I would like to thank WMNF for allowing candidates, regardless of political affiliation, to come on here and share their message. All right, this is Andy Warner. I'm a no-party affiliation candidate for House District 64. That's Northwest Hillsborough County and a good bit of Northeast Pinellas County. It's not too late to get on board, folks. We have support coming in from every direction. We have got 70-year-old conservatives, and we have got 20-something-year-old liberals that have come out in support of this campaign. Why? Two reasons. One, we're coming forward with a centrist point of view. And two, we actually listen to people, even with different points of view. That's very important to come into policy decisions, is talking to people that are most closely invested and related to the issues that come before us. It's of the utmost importance to gather those perspectives and to move forward with policy with those perspectives in mind. And not just come in with a blanket ideology. That's what makes this campaign different from the other campaigns. And it's not too late to jump on board. If you were looking for a candidate that puts people first and politics last, look no further than Andy Warner for House District 64. You can check us out on the web, www.floridaforall.net, or check us out on Facebook at Andy Warner for District 64. Andy Warner for House District 64. People, not politics.
Well, that's Andy Warner, who is running for House District 64, which includes parts of Northwest Hillsborough and parts of Northeast Pinellas County. And you're listening to Free Candidates Messages here on WMNF in Tampa. Again, we're not endorsing these candidates, but we think that it is important that the airwaves, which belong to the public, should give free airtime to candidates. Next, we're going to hear from a candidate who is running for a state Senate seat that includes parts of Pinellas and Pasco County.
My name is Amanda Murphy, and I am running for State Senate District 16. My district runs from Hudson to South Clearwater. I'm running for the state Senate because I believe our government sold us out when they gave Duke Energy the right to collect money for a nuclear power plant that they never built. I want to continue fighting Duke in the state Senate just like I did in the Florida House of Representatives. This is why I have been endorsed by the Tampa Bay Times. I'm also endorsed by the teachers of Pasco and Pinellas counties because I stand for them and their students. It's time that we send someone to Tallahassee who won't sell out our children in order to get reelected. I'm running because I want to fight for what's right and for the people. My website is AmandaMurphyFL.com. Again, this is Amanda Murphy, and I hope to earn your vote on November 6th, or beforehand if you early vote. Thank you.
That's Amanda Murphy, who's running for State Senate District 16, which includes areas of northern Pinellas and southern Pasco County. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's listen to one more free candidate's message. This comes from a candidate who is running for the Hillsborough School Board.
Hi, I'm William Person. I am running for Hillsborough County School Board District 1. Over 33 diverse organizations and newspapers have endorsed me, including the Tampa Bay Times, the Hillsborough County Teachers Association, and the building trade unions. I'm a retired educator. I dedicated 35 years to Hillsborough County Public Schools as a teacher, a principal, and a school administrator. I became an educator because every child deserves a chance. With the challenges we are facing today, our kids have an uphill battle. From deferred maintenance issues to underfunded classrooms, they are being left behind. When I get elected, I will work for every student, every teacher, and every parent. I will make capital investments for our students to have lead-free water, air conditioning that works, and improvements to keep schools safe. We'll prioritize low-performing and underfunded schools with equal access to resources and long-term academic performance plans. And we'll put a stop to the expansion of for-profit charter schools in our counties. These for-profit charters are a drain on our resources. We cannot continue to allow them to siphon off much-needed money from our public schools. Vote for me, Will Person. Our kids, our teachers, and our schools deserve better. For more information, please visit electperson.com or call me directly at 813-374-6660. Thank you.
That's William Person, who is running for the Hillsborough School Board, District 1. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We'll have more free candidates' messages on Monday. Remember, we accept messages from any candidate regardless of party, and we'll be doing more of this on Monday at 11 o'clock here on WMNF. Well, this weekend is the annual Circus McGurkus. It's the People's Fair. It's an alternative People's Fair focusing on peace education and service to the community. And it's been going on for many years, and it is sponsored by, among others, the Lakewood United Church of Christ and the Enroy Foundation and the St. Petersburg Quakers and the Circus McGurkus Community Steering Committee. And one member of the group that's organizing the event, Lynn Carroll Henderson, is in the studio having braved the traffic over Howard Franklin this morning. How was the traffic this morning?
Well, let's say it took me an hour and a half to get here, and it's usually a 37-minute drive.
Well, it's nice to see you. I'm glad you made it here safely, Lynn. Lynn Carroll, tell us about Circus McGurkus for folks that haven't been to it before.
Circus McGurkus is the people's fair, meaning it's all about people interacting with each other. People who come from different backgrounds, who have different religions, who have different economic statuses or educational statuses, bringing all these kinds of people together, giving nonprofits who do services and advocate for helping people, having a better world, having a peaceful vision, and bringing arts and creativity together with the idea of social change. So we invite artists to pair with nonprofits. We don't charge anything, but we encourage the artists to give 20% of what they make that day to the nonprofit cause that they've paired with. So the artists get to meet the people that they care about their cause. The people that care about their cause get a creative person to help with their projects and their work and to be their friend and to bring them into contact with another way of thinking, another way of doing things. Everybody at Circus McGurkus has an open mind and an open heart, and that's the idea. For one day at least, we're going to live the peaceable kingdom we believe in.
So where is it this year?
It's at Gibbs High School. This is every year we've been doing something different because we keep getting bigger and we keep needing more and more parking. Mm-hmm. Gibbs has ample free parking, 800 parking spaces. That, you know, I never thought I would care about parking spaces. And here I am. They are in a beautiful arts-created courtyard because that's the center for the arts, the magnet school in the whole county. And Gibbs High School has a stage and a setup, and they're always renting their places to artistic things, and they welcomed us with open arms, and we're just so happy to be there. We're having 112 booths, so half of those are paired with the other half, except for the Circus McGurkus, which is always itself. We are the center of a 47-year movement to work in this community, to stay local, to buy local, to be sustainable. We give free water. We encourage you not to bring your plastic bottle. Bring something that's reusable. And we make sure that anything that's sold at Circus McGurkus is fair trade or handmade, sustainable products, and hopefully local. So we have a lot of local artists that come there.
So what are some of the groups that will be at Circus McGurkus this year?
Well, gee, we have the usual, we rounded up the usual suspects like the NOW and CASA and Planned Parenthood and League of Women Voters. But then we have groups that are advocating for herbal medicine and traditional herbal remedies and people who are surface designers who are advocating for the possibility of making your world more beautiful, making all the painting them with fabric dyes and yarns. And we have something called a celebration loom where you can write your message for peace and weave it into the loom. We have musicians. Fred Johnson will be there, and Katie Green, the national storyteller, will be there. We have two stages this year, a spoken word stage because we had so many storytellers and poets, and a musical stage that has not only music, but belly dancers and a wonderful young woman who works with the Border Victims Network. And those people are taking care of people at the border who have been savaged by the gang wars and drug wars and everything else in Central and South America. They want to be immigrants for one reason or another. They can't be. They have had all kinds of issues with the border patrols. And this group does a modern dance in which the story of the border patrol is told. It's amazing.
We're talking with Lynn Carol Henderson. She's one of the organizers of the annual Circus McGurkus, which this year takes place at Gibbs High School and the Pinellas School for the Arts. That's at 850 34th Street South in St. Petersburg. Lynn, you've been doing this. I mean, I went to the Circus McGurkus first in 1978 when WMNF set up a booth. And there I saw all these anti-nuclear activists, and I saw these peace activists, and I met all these environmentalists, and then I met these great musicians as I was at Circus McGurkus. It's a way, especially if you're new in town, it's a way to kind of hook up with people if you're interested in peace and social justice and feminism. It's a great place to just kind of meet people.
Well, we have a kind of new emphasis now because of all the problems in our culture on the environment and clean air and clean water and taking care of the birds. Suddenly the migratory birds aren't going to be protective anymore. Not just our water and our air, but, you know, all the environmentalists that Ken will be at the science fair downtown, but that goes on all day. And you can make time to go both places.
It's going to be a beautiful
Gibbs
weekend.
Gibbs isn't very far away, and it's going to be a great day.
So how did you get involved? How many years has Circus been going on?
I've been doing Circus McGurkus since I came to town in 1973. It started in 1971. We decided that this was our... We've been doing it so long, we can't decide if it's our 46th or our 47th year. But it's because we used to say how many circuses we'd done, and we used to do two a year. But we always do the drum circle. We always have the music. We always have the political focus on changing the environment to be something that's... We've been talking about climate change since 1970. So the people who run Earth Day will be there, that kind of thing.
I remember the first one I went to was like Acres of Hippies, but it's really changed over the years. I mean, the hippies are pretty much gone. Or are they still around?
We're all in disguise as 60-year-olds.
You don't look like long-haired... peace and love tie-dyed people anymore.
Well, we still have the tie-dye. We're selling them with Circus McGurkus circles on them. And, you know, I get out in my gypsy rags a few times a year because even though it sometimes looks ridiculous on a woman in her 60s, there is still that woman inside of me that used to sashay around and lead the pony rides.
I was going to say, you can't be a belly dancer, though, if you're in your 60s.
Oh, you can.
Oh, you can?
It's called traditional belly dancing.
Will there be some younger belly dancers?
There will be some younger ones and some older ones. It will be an interesting mix.
So why do you do it? Why? I mean, you've kept this up for all these years that you've been here. When I go to Circus, I always see you and I see your friends. Why do you do it?
This is my calling in some ways. You know, I'm a Quaker and I'm a pagan and I'm, a Jew and a Christian. I'm everyone's relative. I'm everyone's sister, mother, you know, crazy neighbor. That's who I am. You know, I want very much to be a world citizen, and I want others to be able to feel that sense of tolerance and love that's in my life. So in a sense, I've found places where people are actively pursuing a path that will give opportunities for people to come together. So this is a community building thing.
So Lynn,
now, but
if people want to find out more, is it too late to set up a booth? If people want to find out more, can they call you or find you on Facebook or email you?
You can find us at www.circusmcgurkus.org. That takes you right to me.
Circus McGurkus. Is that Dr. Seuss?
It's Dr. Seuss. If I ran the Circus McGurkus, C-I-R-C-U-S-M-C-G-U-R-K-I-S. And that means if I ran the circus, it could be any kind of circus I wanted. And we want it to be a circus for everyone, a people's fair, but a people's fair that believes in justice, believes in tolerance, and more than anything else, believes in the joy of being alive and sharing it with others, humans on the earth, and all the other creatures as well.
Goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Gibbs High School there on 34th Street South. You expect to have 3,000 to 5,000 people there tomorrow?
Well, we never know. Yeah. You know, it could be less. It could. It would probably not be more. But it just depends on the day and what else is running against us and how we do it. If there are 1,000 people, it will be an amazing circus. It doesn't matter how many come. It's what they do when they get there.
Well, Lynn Carol Henderson, it's always great to see you. Thanks for coming by WMNF and braving that terrible traffic on the Howard Franklin. Lynn, thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and good to see you again.
Good to see you. Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF in Tampa. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about a big environmental issue in Hillsborough County. Anybody can run away. There's a band here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Our next guests are going to tell us about a threat to the Upper Tampa Bay Trail, and we're joined now by Hillsborough County Commissioner Pat Kemp, and also here Kent Bailey from the Sierra Club, and Pamela Jo Hatley is here too. It's great to see all of you. Thank you for coming by. And Kent, let's start with you. What is the threat to the Upper Tampa Bay Trail?
Rob, thank you for bringing us here today to help the community be more aware of a very dangerous precedent that is being threatened for the Upper Tampa Bay Trail. There's a section of the trail that I would say may be the most beautiful, most treasured part of the whole trail. It is a section with oak canopy that completely covers the trail there alongside Gunn Highway, just before it hits Ehrlich Road. And in order to facilitate the construction of a parking lot for a proposed apartment complex, the Hillsborough County is considering moving the trail from under the oak canopy to alongside Gunn Highway, where it would basically be a glorified sidewalk, and mowing down all these trees to make more space for more cars to park at this apartment complex that has not yet been built.
So give us a better idea. It's on Gunn Highway. Kind of what is this? Is this Odessa? Would you call that area Odessa? Or what would you call that area?
Citrus Park.
Citrus Park, okay. So it's along Gunn Highway, and where does the trail begin? Where does it end? Just so folks who are driving around.
If you, Gunn Highway, as it goes out into the county, goes west and north and west and north. It makes a lot of 90-degree turns. This particular section is alongside Gunn Highway, parallel to Gunn Highway, just south of where it hits Ehrlich Road. And you'll see it on the right-hand side as you go north on the east side of Gunn Highway. Well, you won't see it unless you're on it because, honestly, it is completely protected by this beautiful oak canopy and the woods that are around it.
Pat, how popular do you think this trail is right now?
This trail has, to my amazement, 300,000 people a year take this trail. It is the number one park amenity in Hillsborough County.
So a lot of people are using it. How many trees are we talking about that would be taken down from this canopy that is there right now? Any idea how many
No idea, but yeah. The whole point is that we have protections already built, that there's no reason for us to even be considering this. This is very protected parkland. In Pinellas County, they have a prohibition on this. And this, we say in our land use rules that this is inviolate to touch any of these pedestrian places and that there has to be some kind of overriding public interest to do this. And instead, we're talking about moving the trail next to Gunn Highway. Actually, it would really pretty much, some of the plans, they've had different plans, denude the canopy or take away the canopy to a great extent at that place. But even beyond that, why in the world? There is no public interest in doing this at all. And there's no public interest in doing it for a private developer so they can stuff more units, more apartment units, and more parking spaces. And that's what they're taking away the canopy for if they were ever able to do it. Now, the county commission has the final say. They should, I don't think, should have let this even be up to negotiation. But they did. I was the one vote to deny even moving any further and even allowing this to be even discussed. I couldn't see any reason. It totally violates the rules. But more than that, they have a plan. And I think Pamela could talk more about this. They have a plan that they are putting out to put entryways onto Gunn Highway right across the trail for 300 apartments, thousands of cars going across the trail every day, not only just realigning the trail, but putting people in that kind of extreme danger.
And Pamela Jo, you want to add to that?
Yes. First of all, I'm an avid bicyclist, and my husband and I ride out on the new Tampa Trail in, off of Bruce B. Downs, and there's one section of that trail that's right next to Bruce B. Downs, and that's the scariest part of the trail. It's a really good thing to have some separation between the trail and the road, because any little mishap, any loss of control of a car traveling on this road, or a car trying to maybe avoid a rear-end collision or something running off the road, would hit some trail user. But just a couple of years ago, there was a very similar request by a property owner that wanted to put an entrance to a commercial property. And this was, they wanted to put an entrance across the Upper Tampa Bay Trail to access a commercial property just south of this property off of Citrus Park Drive, I believe it was. And that request was met by opposition from the community, and trail users were very, very concerned about a vehicle crossing, a motor vehicle crossing across the Upper Tampa Bay Trail. And as it it went before the commission, the commissioners, in fact, Commissioner Hagan spoke out against this. He says, I have seen this and I'm very familiar with the location and the trail, and this is very dangerous. This is going to result in, a safety issue to people using the trail. And in that case, I believe the vote was 5-0 to deny. So they denied that developer the use of an entrance across the trail. In this case, it's even worse because it's not just an access to, a secondary access to a shopping center at that point. This is an access to a community of some 300 homes. So you can imagine there could be 1,000 or more vehicle trips across this entrance every day, interacting with these many, many, many trail users. If this goes through and they move the trail closer to Gunn Highway, which in itself is dangerous, and then have this crossing across it, there's going to be a huge safety issue. And Commissioner Pat Kemp mentioned it's not in the public interest. It certainly is not in the public interest, and I would argue it is very contrary to the public interest, and it is going to result in a safety hazard, and somebody's going to die because of this. This should not happen.
Well, we're talking with three environmentalists who are concerned about a threat to the Upper Tampa Bay Trail, which is in the Citrus Park area of Hillsborough County. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Kent Bailey from the Sierra Club is here. Pamela Jo Hatley, who is a local attorney. Is that right? Pamela,
that's right.
Are you still a volunteer here at WMNF, too?
I'm still involved with WMNF. I probably should be more, but yes, I'm an attorney, and I do land use work and real estate work, and I have for many years. I've also got a PhD in geography and environmental science and policy, and my dissertation dealt with citizen participation in local land use processes. So it's very, very relevant to things like this going on here, where citizens need to get engaged and let the county know that this is public right-of-way here, and this is something that people use, and it's very important to the people of this county, and we need to speak up.
And Pat Kemp is here, the Hillsborough County Commissioner.
Rob, I just want to let people know, because they've heard this, and I know all the commissioners have privately been told this, because that's what I've been told, and really grateful for having the added expertise, the great expertise that Pamela Jo sheds on all this, especially from pursuing cases before and being intimately familiar with the trail. But the commissioners and every member of the public and the thousands of people who have contacted the county have been led to believe that somehow that this access across the trail onto Gunn Highway, which the developers want, they have easy access to Ehrlich Road to the north. This is to the right over the trail to the west. They have the belief, I know I was told this by our own staff, Commissioner, this has to be. They already have, this is already, part of what their rights are in this. And, you know, I knew that probably wasn't exactly correct, but I know that that has been put out at the meetings, at everything else. It's been put out to the hundreds of people who have been involved, and they've been told, oh, there's nothing that you can do about this. And the first thing when I looked at the maps, I said, oh my, why aren't we directing all this entryway up to Ehrlich? And they're like, well, you know, after a while it became very clear, well, the developer wants to have a beautiful entryway onto Gunn Highway. They're not interested in Ehrlich. It's not as visible from the road. It doesn't do what they wanted to do. So even the whole premise of what they're doing here, the developer needs to just deal with the land that they have and build within that land what they can and how they can with access to Ehrlich Road.
Does this involve turning over any county land to the developer?
Oh, most certainly. Yeah. Because the county owns the pedestrian trail, just like it owns any street, just like it owns any park.
That seems to be the central issue then.
Yeah.
If you're going to turn over county land to a developer. And when does this come up for discussion? Tell us when the next meetings are on this.
Yes, there will be a meeting Monday, this coming Monday, a community meeting at 6:30. On October the 22nd, that's this Monday, at the Citrus Park Elementary School Cafeteria. That's at 7700 Gunn Highway in Tampa, 6:30 p.m. And, one of the commissioners said from the dais when this was being discussed earlier that we, the community, need to learn how to compromise. You know, It is no compromise. If you get held up at gunpoint and a guy says, give me your goods, and you say, well, how about I keep my credit cards and I just give you my cash, okay? That is not an acceptable compromise. And we're not about to sit by and allow private development to begin taking public land for for-profit private development. It's not allowable, and it's not a compromise. It's a surrender.
Let me read some of these emails that have come in because people are interested in this. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. David writes this: thanks for bringing Pat and Kent on to discuss this important issue, and Pamela Joe. One thing I was curious about is why the northern part of the trail at the Peterson Road Park has never been extended northbound. It's been a missing gap for years now with no sign of extension. And also, why do developers have so much power in Hillsborough County? It feels like they're not only above the law, but also their vote matters more than regular non-developing citizens, writes David.
Actually, I'll say their votes matter more, or the influence they hold matters more than at least this commissioner's impact on the commission decisions. I mean, and that's a whole nother show, and I'd appreciate if we could do it sometime because I think, you know, that's a whole nother show. I think he might be talking about a part of the trail that's been missing for years that I have been on top of and trying to investigate. It's extraordinarily difficult to get straight answers. I got us to finally hire a trail person after years of not having one, when all the surrounding counties had an active transportation person on staff. We haven't had that. But I believe that part of the trail has not been done because somebody privately owned it. And years ago, a commissioner, if this story is correct, Jim Norman, maybe passed something that said that they couldn't eminent domain the trail to finish it off. And it's been held up forever, and I've been trying to put a fire under that. In the meantime, we have this precious piece of a jewel of a trail, and I'm sorry, but I was stunned that this could end up on the agenda the way it did. They had the community meeting on the Thursday night before Labor Day. I think that tells you something about what they're trying to do there. They had 44 people come, but by the time of the Wednesday meeting, 210 people had made comments besides the people at the meeting. 206 comments said no. 4 said yes. When I found out about this after Labor Day on Tuesday during my briefing in the afternoon, I was really upset. I posted it on Facebook that night. In less than 48 hours, I had, because we were doing the meeting Thursday morning, I had more than 100 shares. We got in more than 100 emails to all of the commissioners on this. But not only that, we already had somebody that started a petition online, 1,200 signatures in 5 days on the petition online. It's amazing.
When does this come up before the Hillsborough County Commission?
Here's the thing. So they've set this up. So we have this meeting. It's a meeting where the developers give their version of events, but I've now insisted that we have staff there, that we have staff sign in people, that I will be there, that Pamela Joe will be there, Kent will be there. So we'll have other people talking so they don't just get one side of the story, the people that show up. But the commission has put this first step, which is the most important step, and that's turning over the right of us to keep this county land exactly as it is. And they've scheduled it for November 8th during the day at the commission meeting. Now, here's what's important about that. And I made this motion 2 days ago at the commission meeting. So there's only one meeting in between. The elections happen November 6th, and the new commission doesn't come in until after this meeting. This is the only lame duck meeting, so to speak. And they have put this very vital, important issue, scheduled it on there. And so that no matter what happens at the elections, that won't impact on this meeting.
And this time around, there's a lot of environmentalists running for the Hillsborough County Commission.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've made a motion the other day, which again, like so many of them, I couldn't get a second for, to put this instead, scheduled at the December meeting where we would have whomever was our new commission on there. We have to have one person at least replaced.
Pamela Jo?
So in response to that question, I'd just like to say that if you go to the Supervisor of Elections website, Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections, and you can look at all the candidates who are currently running for office and running for re-election and election, and you can look at their financials and you can see who contributes to their campaign. Mm. And you'll see that for those running for re-election on the Hillsborough County Commission. Several of them get huge donations and lots of donations from a development interest and large real estate holding interest, and possibly that would help to explain why developers seem to have so much control.
Here's a question from Stu that follows up on that. Stu is asking, do any commissioners have a financial interest in the land or the development? Do we know?
We don't know. They're supposed to disclose that. But, I mean, there's all kinds of ways of having financial interests in things that don't necessarily arise. But certainly campaign contributions is one of them. And they do have several commissioners that have had campaign contributions from the person pushing this.
Bob writes this, I'm a frequent user of this trail and oppose this change. I may be wrong, but I believe that this is a rails to trails facility and this change would violate the county's covenant with the Tails to Tails concept. The trail occupies a former rail line, so if it isn't official rails to trails situation, the history is still there. Is that true? Is it part of the rails to trails?
I believe it is part of the rails to trails, but speaking to that just a little bit, from the prior processes that I was involved in a couple of years ago, and even before that, going back to 2000, there were comments about this very trail and a segment just south of there. And county staff, and I believe, if I recall correctly, county Planning Commission staff, but definitely the Recreation Department staff, said no more crossings over this trail. It isn't safe, and you know there were all kinds of reasons against it. And at that time, like I said earlier, the commission listened to them and understood that safety issue. This is the same thing here. It's the same and even more intense. So, but it is, yes, that caller's correct.
Let's take some actual phone calls, too. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, and my guests are Pamela Jo Hatley, who's a local attorney, Hillsborough County Commissioner Pat Kemp, and Kent Bailey from the Sierra Club. And let's go to Libby, who's in Palm Harbor. Hi, Libby, you're on. What's your question for our guests?
Well, I actually have some input. I live in Pinellas County and take advantage of the Rails to Trails Pinellas Trail over here near Wall Springs. And I certainly hope you can get that meeting postponed till December so that you can have a really good turnout at some public and some public outcry about this, because at Wall Springs, I'll make a long story short, they had one meeting scheduled at Palm Harbor University High School to put in a marina at Wall Springs, which is a historic 1923s, beautiful Pinellas County Park. There must have been 500 people show up at that meeting, and the developers said, which plan do you like, this plan for the marina? They had all the drawings and everything, big presentation, this one or this one? The crowd ended up actually saying neither one.
Exactly.
And they folded up their plans, and we never heard from them again, and Wall Springs is still pristine as a passive park. Anyway, so stick to your guns, try to get that December 8th meeting, because I'm tempted to drive over to the one on Monday night at 6:30. Because that's outrageous that they would be wanting to give a parcel of public land to a developer and ruin a pristine area. Anyway,
all right, Libby, thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
I like that. They are bringing option three, I think, to the public. And again, I said it's a developer type of meeting, but I can tell you, I thought maybe just from the outrage that came at the other county commission meeting and the petitions and all the papers I brought, even though I couldn't seem to get a second to stop this, I thought maybe that, you know, things would, you know, say step back for a minute. Within a week, the developers on top of this again, trying to do the same thing again. I had staff come down to me. Woe to the poor staff that has to come to me to tell me this stuff and brief me. And they're going, Commissioner, here. And what are these? This is option one, two, and three that the developer has all of them with these big driveways, big roads over the trail. And they said, which one do you think? And I said, none of them at all. And I'm going to be clear about that. You know, option one, two, and three don't work to me. The only option that works for me is nothing across the trail. Get that entryway going up to Ehrlich Road and stop this.
This email comes in from Ron in West Tampa. He says, I agree with Kent Bailey and all of you. This whole thing is a subtle effort by developers to start taking a little here and a little there. And I do not see my R trail carved up for any private developer's benefit. This developer can go find another place to build his project if this place isn't enough. Sorry, but my trail is not to be altered. Go to New York and build there, writes Ron in West Tampa.
The trail is not for sale. Hashtag.
Let's take another phone call. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And we're going to go down to south of us. We're going to go to Derek, who's in Port Charlotte. Derek, you're on. What's your question?
Well, my question was, and you answered it already, Rob, the trail is owned by the county. I don't understand how the county can give away county-owned land, and if they're going to do that, then the people need to, be at the meeting and express that desire to not give it away. The other thing is, how wide is the? You said it runs on the old railroad track. So is there a gap between the railroad right of way and the right of way of Gun Highway? And if there is, how wide is that? And these developers, they put on these dog and pony shows, preliminary dog and pony shows, and then everything goes to staff. And that is where you need to get the people on board, is on staff. Because if the staff does not recommend these things, then the county commission is usually going to follow in their footsteps. Is that not correct, Ms. Commissioner?
That is correct, but when you have a commission that is very clear to the staff and has been for a decade about what they want done, then the staff, is responding to the culture that's been created there before. And I think I'm a problem for them because I have a different narrative.
Yeah, you sound like you are a thorn in their side, but you know what? They need more thorns in their side.
I couldn't agree more.
The other thing that, the lawyer on right there also can present the fact that, this is a safety issue, and I don't know about in Hillsborough County, but in Charlotte County, when a safety issue comes up like that, that's a pretty big issue, and that gets looked at very, they dig into that. So, and then giving away public lands, that's just outrageous. I can't even believe that they would even consider that. This developer, if he has another way to put in his, his access, then that's what he needs to do. But, I'm a land surveyor, so I look at it from both sides of the issue. I happen to be a tree hugger and a land surveyor, and I'm the first one in and the last one out. And so, I see it all, from the beginning of the development to the end of the development. And, while we don't have a lot of say in what goes on because, we work for those people, but sometimes, there's a little input we can give them, but not a lot. But anyway.
All right, Derek, thanks a lot. Thank you.
All right.
Pat, I want to ask you about something a little bit different, and that is yesterday in the Tampa Bay Times, there was a story about how developers aren't paying their fair share. And you're the person behind this.
Get my agenda item out. I could barely speak without being cut off.
So tell us a little bit about why you think developers in Hillsborough County are not paying their fair share.
Well, I could go into the big deal, which is mobility fees, which our mobility fees have been shamefully low forever. And as an activist, before I became a commissioner 2 years ago, I worked very hard to get those raised up. They changed it from impact fees to mobility fees, and very little other than that changed.
This is a fee that when they want to build a house, that there's a price that they have to pay for all the attendant costs like roads and schools
and
infrastructure.
And forever, right on our borders, Pasco and Manatee have had far higher impact fees. And I'm talking... And I'll give you this example. This is a extreme example, but it's an example of how this is. We have two fees for comp plan amendments. There's all kinds of fees, but for changes in our comprehensive plan, the underlying density of things. And so we charge $1,000 and $3,000, but as I found out in the last 5 years, they have not even charged, they've only charged $1,000 ever in the last 5 years. They have not upped the fees since 1978, since the Berlin same wall was standing. That I said, how long? I mean, it's like unbelievable. And not only that, we had a project. We have a project going now that six commissioners said, okay, you can keep going on this. We'll see what happens, but it's in process. But it's called the RP2. It's kind of a land designation thing. But anyway, it covers 14,400 acres. It would put 13,200 homes outside the urban service area with no jobs, no commercial, none of the kinds of requirements that were even originally put into this proposal, and give them greater density. 13,200 homes is equal to Temple Terrace, without jobs, without roads, without schools. So let me just say this, just the application fee, if I could, was $1,000 for that. The same project, if you applied for it in Pasco County or Manatee County, would have been $25,000 or upward. In Broward County, $30,000 or upward. And in Miami-Dade, $230,000 or upward.
This is because development doesn't pay for itself. When you add housing projects, that you've got to have schools and roads and sewers and water mains and traffic lights and all the stuff that goes on. And you can't just build a housing development in undeveloped land and expect that it's going to pay for all the government features that it needs.
Well, you kind of can in Hillsborough County, but the growth does not pay for itself at all. None of this growth is paying for itself. These fees, we're subsidizing, the taxpayers here are subsidizing this. We're subsidizing the growth not only with our dollars, our taxpayer dollars, but we're also subsidizing it with misery in our quality of life. I mean, I see these commissioners just throw down things all the time. It's just, it's stunning, and they don't have to do it.
Ken, let's go back to the upper Tampa Bay Trail, because we're down to the last minute or two, but tell us when the next few meetings are about the future of the upper Tampa Bay Trail.
I'm only aware of one more community meeting that will be on Monday at Citrus Park Elementary School Cafeteria, 6:30, this coming Monday, October 22nd. It's at 7700 Gunn Highway in Tampa.
I should say, too, during the day at the board meeting on November 8th, despite the fact we have a lame duck commission, if you can come during the day, and that shouldn't, inundate them with emails, please, phone calls, do everything you can. By the way, they tried to stop people from collecting petitions or handing out things on the trail. I made sure that our attorney's office got to our staff and said, you are not allowed to do that. Your First Amendment rights are right there operative on the trail, so go to it, whatever you want to do on that trail to alert other people is all in your First Amendment right.
And Kent, a lot of people run and bike and walk on this trail. If they're out there listening, how can they contact you? At the Sierra Club?
At the Sierra Club. Just Google Tampa Bay Sierra Club, and that will pull up our website. And there's links to our emails there. Or you can send me an email directly. I'm going to give you my easy email address, not my Sierra Club email address, which is Kent, K-E-N-T, at ctitampa.com. Charlie Tango Indigo Tampa.com.
All right. Well, Kent Bailey of the Sierra Club, thank you so much. Pamela Jo Hatley, thank you so much. Well, here on the Bluegrass Show, right?
Old-time music.
Old-time music. First Saturday of the month.
Mr. Ethnic's okay. Old-time music. That's right.
Pamela Jo is a volunteer here at WMNF, and Commissioner Pat Kemp, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Have a great weekend. And remember, the free candidates' messages continue on this radio station on Monday at 11 o'clock. If you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for Daniel Ruth. He's coming up next, right here on WMNF Tampa.
Oh, I treat her carelessly. Mother Earth provides for me. When the grasslands graze.
You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Daniel Ruth of the Tampa Bay Times. And at 1 o'clock this afternoon, you'll hear Art in Your